Okay, so the next item is something that I've been talking about with staff and also with some of the board about the need to take a holistic look at high school graduation in Maryland. I can't remember the last time that we actually did that in the last 40 years. I know there was some high school, it mostly had to do with assessments, adding assessments as graduation requirements, but we've pretty much had that, the standard 4 credits of this and 3 credits of that for a very, very long time. So what I'm proposing to do is to convene, this would be a superintendent's task force, as our AG has described it, to make recommendations to the state board about the requirements for high school graduation in Maryland going forward. The parameters or the outcomes of what I would think we would need to look at would include reviewing the current credits for getting a Maryland high school diploma and make recommendations for whatever minimum number, if it stays the same or if it increases or decreases. Reviewing the number of subject area credits currently required and the subject areas currently required, which was brought up earlier by Dr. Lee. And looking at whatever recommended additions or deletions or modifications we might have based on current research and based on looking at what is happening with college and career readiness across the country. Also considering, and this gets to Mr. Smith's comment, considering different options for awarding the high school diplomas based on educational research and also reviewing of other states' standards. Should Maryland retain, for example, one diploma? Should it have one diploma with additional certification seals, multiple diplomas, or some other option? Reviewing the assessment requirements for the high school graduation and make appropriate recommendations based on evidence-based practices and recent research on college and career readiness. Also, review and consider any related policy recommendations coming from the Kerwin Commission. And obviously, part of this review would, I think Dr. Finn held up that great chart the other yesterday, that showed all the options for graduation. And so we need to really take a look at what does that mean if you get a GED versus a high school diploma, and how does that impact on college and career readiness. The final product would be to integrate all of our high school assessment, graduation, diploma issues that we've been circling and talking about for the past 6 months into a consolidated action plan of recommendations that we would present to the board. I have a number of what I'm calling shareholders. I heard this at the conference in Nashville last week. Somebody said something about we shouldn't call them stakeholders anymore because it's like putting a stake in the ground. So I'm going to call these folks shareholders. And we would want to include people, obviously, from the normal shareholder groups that we work with on ESSA, to name a few, MABE, MSEA, the Baltimore Teachers Union, PASAM, Superintendents Association, State Board of Education, the PTA, all of our advocacy groups, Governor's Office, Legislation, MHEC, University of Maryland System, whoever else. And I would like the board to think of, I'm going to send out this outline so you have a copy of it, think of maybe groups that I have missed that you might want to recommend that I add to that list of shareholders. Meetings will be open to the public, and they're open meetings, so anyone else can come that's not appointed on the shareholder group. The timeline I'm suggesting is January through June, with possible recommendations to the state board either in July or August, depending on the scope of the work, and then some kind of a midpoint review to the state board in the middle of that so that you can see where is this going and are we comfortable with that. Now, you'll have somebody, I hope, from the board that would be on that, but it would be nice to have just a midterm report. So that's what I'm suggesting because I don't think we can consider these issues one by one. And I think we're getting a little far afield here when we start saying, well, we want to do this or that until we look at everything and get everybody in on the discussion. The State Board has the final purview over this, so you can rest assured that the recommendations will be vetted through that process. So that's what I'm proposing. I hope that you will support that task force initiative, and I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you for that.
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
The point that you brought up, Dr. Salmon, about convening the shareholders, it made me think back to something that I wanted to recommend to the board, and so that is having a process that allows students to be a part of some of these discussions.
Oh, absolutely.
Exactly. And so I know that obviously one student member can't be a part of every sort of committee or process or task force, but I think if MSDE could work with the executive director that we do have for the Maryland Association of Student Councils to sort of create some type of process where students can be found exactly to participate in some of these dialogues, because I think that would be extremely helpful in terms of just giving a sort of perspective of what's currently going on. You know, how are students currently facing what they are given in terms of graduation requirements, as an example, and what do they see us doing going forward? What would be beneficial to them? Because I think that's a key part of what we want to keep in mind, and I would love to be a part of some type of
process. I think the Maryland Association of Student Councils is an obvious shareholder, and I've just made a note.
I would be very interested in serving on that as you're looking at
state
your
board
point.
Mm-hmm. That's up to our president.
Oh, okay.
Here, but
I'd be very interested
be happy
in serving on that pro bono.
Oh, yes, you all get so much money.
Pro bono, thank you. Dr. Finn.
Excellent initiative. Want to point out, and you've already sort of implied this, but let me be explicit. The whole country is grappling with a big mismatch between the historic Carnegie unit approach to graduation and a modern competency-based approach to graduation. Often takes the form of assessments, but and of course exams instead of credits from the teacher, mm-hmm. but not always. And Maryland's one of many states that is currently trying to do both at the same time in a very confused way. So on the one hand, you have to take X years and be judged by your teachers whether you got the credits, but on the other hand, you have to satisfy the state that you've learned certain things. To rationalize all this into a coherent way of determining whether somebody is ready for a diploma, and it integrates further with the ideas of personalization and acceleration, such that somebody may get through it all in 2 years and be ready for something else, and somebody may take 5 years and be ready then for something. So I think that rationalizing this, if possible, would be a huge accomplishment.
Well, you know, and I've become more, let's say, open-minded about what you just talked about. I had the opportunity, and I shared with Dr. Lee, to hear Hattie at the conference. I don't know whether, Andy, you were still there or not, but he was amazing. And his presentation about what's happening in terms of the need for computer science and where the world is going. And he did the whole thing mostly visually with these pictures. And I came out of it thinking, oh my gosh, we have to do something really dramatic. So,
great, thank you.
I too want to applaud you because I feel like you've heard our voices about what a high school diploma means in Maryland. And so I think, Dr. Salmon, this is a great initiative. I know Michelle already asked.
Yes.
But I'm asking too.
Okay.
To be there to help, you know, because I think we all understand the value of our kids knowing actually what they're walking out of school with, and I think our parents deserve that.
Great.
So I applaud this effort.
Thank you. And I didn't tell you who was going to staff this, so I left that for the end. I did tell the staff before, so they're not surprised. But anyway, Dr. Williamson will be co-chairing this with Dr. Shaw. So I think we'll have the best of both worlds with those co-chairs.
Thank you.
And I hope some of what drives the beginning of this is, as Stephanie said, the question of what should a diploma communicate? What should, as we talked about yesterday, when somebody puts on their job application Maryland diploma required, what should that employer know that requirement says about an applicant? And I think that, to me, that drives most things, because that's going to drive where the standards are for the alignment. That's going to drive test scores, and really, to Checker's point, I think it drives competency, because that's where I think we ought to go. I mean, there are very broad implications to that, I realize, but some of them are financial and can accrue to our benefit. If we've got kids who are ready to graduate and want to move on to other opportunities by the time they're in 10th, 11th, 12th grade, those are resources that could be put someplace else and help maybe fill other needs like pre-K. I think there are synergies there if we get the big question right. One detail I didn't hear in your list, I'm sure it's not because you meant to exclude it, is the SSL requirement. One of the things that surprised me when I read the Prince George's County report is that there were less than 10 students who didn't graduate because they didn't meet the SSL requirement. Given the absentee rates and other things going on, that was surprising to me. So I'm not asking for more audits, but
all of those ancillary things. I mean, it's not just, I kind of capture what's saying subject area, but there are also other recommendations we have to fulfill. Thank you for reminding me.
If we're going to have SSL, let's make sure it's meaningful, and if you can bring a recommendation on whether we should have it and how to make it meaningful, I think that would be great.
Virtual reality.
The last thing is thank the staff, and thank you to the board for all of the work yesterday during our work session, especially the tough but necessary conversation about Bridge, which I thought was very, very helpful, and there's some takeaways from that.
And I do have a couple of takeaways.
Please.
Can I bring them in now? Yeah. So what I was thinking is, you know, we came up with, you know, some ideas of maybe further data collection points. And I think since we're using the new Bridge projects this year, it would be a good time to institute some new data collection points. So what I'm going to suggest to the board is that they decide if they would like to direct the department to find out from the school systems what percentage of students who begin a Bridge project end up passing the state test they had failed. That's number one. And number two, what percentage of students who begin a Bridge project fail the Bridge project? And I think those two data points would be helpful. The other thing that I'm going to do while this is data collection is going, I'm going to be investigating what is the, you know, what's that point for differentiated accountability? What is the percentage of which we should be concerned about in terms of what we see in our data? So I'm going to be working on what that number is and bringing that back to the board at some point in the near future so we can also flag that and prepare what I talked about yesterday, some kind of an audit on systems with a high level of Bridge projects. So.
Can I ask just timeline on that second one? Should we do that January, February?
Probably February.
Okay.
I would just have to refine the second question. I think the first one's perfect. The second one is actually a question I asked, but after the discussion yesterday, I realized it's not exactly the question which is how many students do not graduate
because
they haven't met the academic requirement and the Bridge, that's the only requirement they haven't met. And they didn't pass Bridge.
I don't understand.
So it's not that they went into Bridge and then it dropped out. It's that they went into Bridge, they didn't pass Bridge, and that's the reason why they didn't graduate.
Or they didn't, there were other reasons that some of the students who started the Bridge did not complete or pass the Bridge, did not graduate for reasons not related to Bridge or academics. At least that was part of my takeaway.
I think we're getting very complicated here. I mean, we
yeah.
One of the things we want to know is of those students whose graduation was dependent on completing the Bridge project.
That's a better way to put it than my convoluted way.
What percentage of them failed to graduate because they didn't successfully complete the Bridge project?
That's what I'm after. Yep. Very well. Thank you, Dr. Steiner.
Could you say that first one again, please, Dr. Steiner?
Of those who depended on the Bridge project in order to graduate, what percentage failed to graduate because they did not meet a standard associated with the Bridge project?
Got it.
During yesterday's meeting, which I don't remember if that was dealt with, when do these Bridge projects begin? Like, some systems allow you to do it halfway during the school year, especially some seniors. Is there a cutoff time period or beginning time period when they can do this in order to cover all the subject matter that they may have missed from the standardized tests? I'd like to know.
Dr. Williamson, do we have information on that to answer that question?
I think it would be safe to say that once they have failed the test, when they can provide for the appropriate assistance for those students, that's when it begins.
But so what timing is that usually? So that would be right after January?
Well, it depends on when they took the test and failed it. It could have been January. It could have been the end of the year.
Okay.
Some of them do the summer school.
Okay. For those who may not, like some kids may end up starting in their year, especially in their senior year. Is there a way to get the data from the locals to see if that is a practice there? Is that possible?
Yeah, we have some data that we already collected from each of the locals, so we can go back and look at that, but we can get that data,
all right.
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Dr. Finn. Thank you,
Ms. Izzard. I'm interested in other state benchmarks here. At one point, Dr. Steiner brought us some numbers from Massachusetts about how many kids have an alternate, end up with their diploma via an alternate path. At one point, I think we asked the department.
I think we have that.
About other states.
Don't we? Isn't that something?
Yes, we
have that information.
So the question, the data I would like to see is for states where high school, where a standard high school diploma hinges on passing state assessments.
Hmm. Which is about 13 states.
How many in those states, how many students graduate via an alternate route other than passing all the relevant assessments? What are the numbers in other states that use exams for graduation?
And if possible, sorry, we're loading up work here, but if possible, the number that remains who graduated in that group who are not special needs or ELL students. Mm.
So this is work that we're going to be collecting anyway. That's the kind of research this task force is going to be looking into. So it's helpful to further define some questions for us to investigate. So we'll put that into the process of that group. Any other suggestions or ideas?
Are we really down to 13 states that are using assessment-based graduation?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Very interesting.
Yes, great. It may or may not be related to the fact that our graduation rates are
rising,
are at sky high levels.
Yes.
Yeah. Just to follow up on a question from yesterday, when we're asking about how many kids are within that disabilities framework, which I don't think is an appropriate question for us to be asking, but along those lines, if we are asking that question, can you also find the information for how many of those kids also have, if not an IEP, then accommodations for disabilities? Because those would fall into that same category, but the numbers are going to be so much bigger.
Yeah. I thank you for reminding me.
It skews the numbers quite a bit.
I definitely wanted to have that, take a look at that after you mentioned it yesterday. Thank you.
Thank you. And again, thanks to the board and the staff for yesterday.